Welcome to The Solution, a real estate podcast where myself, Phil Sexton, and
Jeff Seabach,
we come together, we've got microphones in between us, and we have a public Zoom room where we've got a studio audience, if you will, over the web.
Over the web.
And we talk...
The internet, per se.
The internet. That's such a huge word. And we talk about ways to get better as realtors, to get better as real estate agents on how we can put the consumer first. What are we doing to help agents like, I don't know, Elise Fay, 10 times her business. How do we get mojo back in Fading Winners? How do we take new agents from no sales to 10 sales in a quarter? And now, and we bring it to you guys.
Yeah.
What you're talking about?
No, the whole time I got stuck on the you calling internet a big word because I'm a Scrabble player and all those letters are worth very
nothing.
Little, nothing, yes. Right? Unless yeah. It covered a triple word score because it's 8 letters. Could you get into the 20s with it? But sorry.
No, I digress.
No,
you could put it on the
internet,
end.
Like dude, E11111, right? Like oh, is N two? No, I think it was it.
Not about.
Not about. Yeah. Well, yeah. The vowels are. Well, and it's not U. It's A or E. Internet.
I don't even know where to go from there. So we sometimes talk about real estate is what I meant to say in the intro. Today
we only talk about real estate ever. It's never funny, and I thought I'd throw a joke.
Oh yes, that's right. Except during the commercials, that's when you're really funny. Usually those jokes.
What are we talking about today, Phil?
This class, this session, this podcast is called How to Get This Much Better.
You only want to get this much better, Phil?
I want to get this much better. You sound like Adam, our producer. What is this much? Who says the podcast people said, what is this much? Like I'm putting my thumb and my index finger right next to each other. Like just how to get a little bit better. How about that?
Well,
how
do you get a little bit better? For the studio audience home, it'd be like that uncle that used to chew tobacco. And like if he was going to take a pinch of skull
and put it
into his mouth, that's this much better. Holding out in front of your head, that's this much better. Is that good?
I understand what you mean.
Okay, good.
I also
mean, it's a little wider. I don't know that anyone puts like, you know, 3 fingers worth of chew in your mouth, because that would be disgusting.
Well, I mean, maybe
chewing disgusting in general. All right.
So when you said this much better, like when how to get a little bit better, you said is that like it's not a big deal to get a little bit better unless get a little bit better at like, I don't know, 200 aspects of your business.
Well, and actually, the odd thing about that is I think that most agents that listen to us or most traditional agents or the average agent does about 200 different activities. So activities like putting together an input sheet for a listing, enter that listing into MLS, turn a contract into SkySlope or your back office software, write an offer, sit an open house. Like they just, you know,
market an open house,
use RPR,
right? Like description.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Like all those things. But in the essence of making it this much better, we actually perform 400 activities or 350. And then we get rid of, because I think that most traditional agents or most good agents, because they're taught by brokers, do 50 activities that I'm like, you don't need to do that. Right? I mean, we always got to do the activities that keep us out of legal hot water. But, you know, I don't know. There's just some activities that when I meet with agents, how about the realtor tour as an activity where I'm like, you don't need to go to those anymore, right? Like you're just wasting your time, right? Like if you want to get a price reduction, let's work on that script. Let's not try or let's learn how to use the internet to drive traffic to our listings so that we don't have to get our sellers to be like, well, I had all these realtors go through it and it should be lower because now the public.
It's a cop out.
Yes.
It's realtors getting together that don't know how to market to drive traffic other ways, right? If I can't get anybody to come look at my house, then maybe I'll get together with a bunch of my friends and have my friends come over and look at the house. And they'll tell me and then I can blame all of the feedback they give me on them. And I'm still the good guy.
I mean, to me, it's because that's the wonky part of the business and that's the scammy part of the business because you take a bunch of people that are on the tour that are usually people that don't sell a lot of houses. Cause if you sell a lot of houses, you don't go on the tour or you're the listing agent and you're just there to get the feedback from the agents that, because there's 50,000 agents and 60% of them are going to do less than two transactions, their feedback is really not that valuable to your seller because they haven't had a buyer in that area of town in 5 years. So how would they know what, you know what I mean? But yet they're going to write down notes and give it to your seller. Like, to me, that's a little old school. So you're misleading.
In our endless pursuit of getting this much better,
we got this much better. We first improved the 200 tasks, and by this much better, we removed 50 of them, but then we added 200 more tasks that they should be working on, but they don't. Like, for instance, the buyer letter, right? Like, to me, would you agree with me, Phil, if I said the most underdeveloped skill of a realtor is how to find houses that are not on MLS, but would your buyer like, and would they be able to buy it? Because that seller wants to move, but they don't want to go through the arduous process of listing a house. It's for, you know, because we've identified hundreds, if not thousands of them where they would like to move, but they don't want to go through the hassle, and they want a higher price, or they need to fix it, whatever. But because we do that, but when we talk to agents about it, they lack that skill. So that's one of the 200 in trying to get this much better over the 200 skills in creating our 350 skills. Yes.
I agree. I know that this is week 6 of our 8-week series that we're teaching inside of EXP's world. Yes. Right. So we have an hour and a half every week that we teach it in EXP world,
which is a paid program.
Yep. And we have our core principles that we cover. And so week 6 this week, which is follow-up processes and documentation.
Well, we have to make it more interesting, because follow-up processes and documentation is a snoozer, right?
Yeah, that nobody shows up to a class on follow-up processes and documentation.
Well, even this much better, like, the people don't come, they don't.
Well, what if we called this class, what is the number one disease that kills real estate agents?
That's what we're going to call it on the podcast when Adam posts it, is because it's really, that's what it is. What we should have called it that.
We're going to on the pod when we publish this. Yeah. So thank you, Miguel and Randy, for coming to a boring titled class. But just know, when you listen to it on the podcast later, it's going to have a sexy name about this disease.
Right. Well, what we're going to talk about.
It. I use sexy and disease in the same sentence, just for the record. That doesn't happen often.
You're right.
So what is the number one disease that kills real estate agents?
What is the number one disease? Again, unfortunately, our studio audience is going to get a little better, but I'm going to take my index finger. That's the one that's next to the thumb. And I'm going to raise it slightly up to be parallel with my face.
Just above your ear?
Just above my ear. And then I'm going to turn it vertical.
Horizontal.
Yeah, to make a
you're tapping the side of your head.
Right, with
almost as if you're saying, I can remember that.
Yes, right. That is the as we share secrets, individual and team formats, in the number one disease is overwhelmingly clear that we can download an hour worth of knowledge, and they obviously have a disease because they believe that they can remember all of the nuggets we're sharing. Yet when we ask them, are they going to take notes? They point to their head, the little index finger. No,
I got it.
Phil, why? Why would someone think that they can remember it when we know they can't?
Science. Why do people think that they can remember stuff that they can't? Because our minds trick us.
No.
Because we believe, because here you are. I don't know. I was talking about it from a Netflix standpoint.
I was trying to go into, because I think that realtors, the system of real estate needs adjustment. Okay. Because when realtors get trained by the broker during their first 3 to 5 classes, like, to me, most of the training is developed for contract, MLS, using a lockbox, right? Procedures and all that stuff. And then the rest of it's risk reduction. So they feel that they got it already. They feel that they, once they went, like, you know, if some, if an agent does 25 transactions in a year in an office, they're considered a top performer because the average agent only sells 3 houses a year, right? So they're rewarded and praised by the broker because they're like, look at that. Oh, that's a great agent over there. When really, when you're doing 25 transactions a year, you're proficient at being a realtor. I don't know that you're, and because really, if you were a great realtor, wouldn't you have so much business that you couldn't stop it coming in and that you'd do more than 25 deals? Right? Like, no, because the thing is,
I'm still looking for the answer that we have, why people think they can remember everything.
Because they're told by their broker, you're a great agent, you're good, you're good. But because they work with, I mean, to me, what happens is when you only work with, this is what it is, when you sell 25 houses a year, you're working with 2 buyers or 3 buyers at a time. And I know when I was working with 2 buyers or 3 buyers at a time, I didn't need to take notes.
You could remember it.
I could remember it.
So the reason why people think they can remember it is because they don't think big enough.
Yes.
If you are going to have 10 buyers or 15 buyers in your pipeline, you have to take notes.
Yes.
There's no way you can remember it.
But I learned that because when I was selling software, I was dealing with 40 leads a day that I was talking to.
Yeah.
And when you're talking to 40 people a day, you
no chance.
And you don't know them. The problem is that when they're talking to people, they, you know, when
they know Lucy has a dog, they know Lucy's looking for a house with a pool.
More importantly, they know how Lucy and her kids, they know she's got 3 kids. They know that they played softball with her. Lucy's downloaded some knowledge while they're at softball over weeks and weeks. You have soccer, you have kids. They go there, they talk about all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like you, it's harder to, when you know more about somebody, it's easier to remember other little tips because it's, an evolved
relationship.
Yeah, it's a relationship, right? Yeah. But our method of teaching is to convert strangers. And with strangers, it's harder when you look at a lead on the internet and you see Tom Davis. It's hard to remember anything about that person until you meet them. But a lot of our conversations happen before you meet them. So you get in the habit of note-taking.
Yeah. We even have agents on our team who have shown houses to people, have met with them, right? Like April of this year, showed a house to these people. And then when the person goes dark, goes home, does whatever, doesn't COVID silence. And then when you bring that person back up to the agent 8 months later and you say, hey, whatever happened to Tom Davis? And they're like,
they make that face.
Who? You know, the guy you showed in DC Ranch in April? I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Right?
Normal.
But those are the like real world today examples of please take more notes. Please document to have a better pipeline.
But the problem
you should have talked to Tom 2 months, 30 days later, 60 days later, like you shouldn't go dark on people. And because we don't take notes, we think, I'll remember Tom, right? No problem.
You met with him. Like, yes. How did you forget him?
No, it's like when you log into somebody else's Netflix account and you try to remember where you were on a series.
Okay, so let's say we're watching Narco, because I'm rewatching Narco.
Okay.
And so Narco is about the...
Or Schitt's Creek, because that's the one that my wife is totally into Schitt's Creek.
Oh, she's into Schitt's Creek.
Okay. Yeah, and I've got a babysitter at some point logged into
Netflix.
But
you're like in season 1, season 2, Schitt's Creek, season 3?
Probably 5 is my guess.
Oh, so it's really hard to find out where you are.
Well, in the television...
Like, you might not even know what
the TV in the living room is the babysitter's login.
Okay. We won't tell Netflix.
The TV in our bedroom is my mother-in-law's login.
Oh, okay.
You know how hard it is to know
what episode you're on? I told you it was cheap. He doesn't even know. Like, what I learned out of that is he doesn't even have his own Netflix account.
And I'm happy to add anybody to my YouTube TV account as a family member.
So what you're saying is that
it's hard
to like it, at the when you when
I'm
you
fall asleep
the next morning, you would have to document season 3, episode 28, right? Like if you knew that you were gonna go on vacation, you were gonna watch it and log on. Your uncle who lives in Massachusetts, he has a Netflix account. On his Netflix account, you would need to have
the amount of time that it takes is wasted if you don't document it. Right. And I use that as a stupid example, but there's things that we all know you're in life every day. There's stuff that people are out there that can't remember. Like, it's funny because the older they get, you start hearing people say, I suffer from CRS. What is CRS? Miguel, Randy? Can't remember shit. And my guess is you heard it along the way, but you just can't remember shit. So you. But the older you get, the more people you talk to that use that as a joke. Like, I can't remember shit.
Well,
but then you talk to like the 30-year-old, the 20-year-olds, the 30-year-olds, the 40-year-olds, and they don't believe they can't remember stuff. They're the ones that point to you when you're in a meeting with them, and they say, when you challenge them on why don't you take any notes, they point to their head and they say, I got it. And you're like, you're fucking kidding yourself. Sorry for the F-bomb.
Yeah. I mean, to me,
take more notes.
The hard part is it's actually even more difficult than just writing it down, because that is
you think
thank you for leading
me to my next story.
Yeah, well, because what happens is
it down is a way to help you remember.
Yes, number one. So the way that you cure the number one disease, which is not learning information and not documenting it by writing it down, is you write it down.
Yeah,
when someone's talking to you and you have an inkling, you even have a thought that they may mention something that may be new or usable to you in the future, even though you may not use it. That's what it is too.
Here's what, you know what people can remember? The ideas of what you talk about. You know what they can't remember?
The details.
Yeah. And when you're sitting across the agents and you use scripts, I mean, Randy, thank you for being on the public Zoom room today, because Randy and I we spent an hour and a half in our conference room yesterday. Like, he pushed record on his phone. How about that for note taking? And now he's got every script.
It is a way that I do note taking. The question I have from him is how long did it take you to write up the notes that you took?
I haven't written them down yet.
But
I still have the recording.
You do have the recording, but there's next level of the recording, and that's, is it titled something other than December 1st, 2020, 9 a.m.? Because it becomes very, like, if that's the title of the recording, which I'm guilty, I have some of those. But when I have one that I need to remember, I make sure I retitle it to lead conversion scripts from Phil. That way you can at least get back to it. Right, so that you can listen to what the details are, because there's subtleties that when you listen to experts.
All right, let's talk about something else. So, because to me, it's even the phone. I don't know if we can show this. Right?
Just describe it, because a lot of people listen.
Okay, when looking at my phone, I have Lynn Seabach, I have Kimball Pools, I have John Mittling, I have Jesse Martin.
What are you looking at? The recent calls, or what
I'm looking at my calls, and every one of them has a name.
Oh.
I don't, when I think of documentation, it's even taking every phone number of somebody that you know you may deal with and recording them as a contact. Like,
yes.
It's hard to think that this is going to grow your business, but this is what creates the hockey stick effect, because when you get this much better, right?
That, I got another one.
It was hard to, like, the person that framed it up for me was Darren Hardy, because when I listened and I was taking ferocious, I don't even know if that's the right word.
I think I know what you mean though.
Ferocious notes. Like, I mean, the notes I took for him, because I took them on Evernote at the time.
Yeah.
And I don't use Evernote anymore. I almost over, I mean, after reading the book and listening to book, I went to hear him talk about the book, and I still took
learned more
a lot more notes, because I thought, well, maybe he'd have, and he did. He had better stories when we went in person, and he had different stories, just like we're here in the podcast versus online.
All right, let's take a quick commercial break, because I got an open house story when we get back.
Okay.
Are you an agent in the Phoenix metro area looking to join an elite team to help expand your business to the next level? Agents that apply our strategies grow their business by an average of 300% in their first year with the CBOC team. If you're interested in learning more about our leads, training, and marketing strategies, visit cboc.com/careers today. That's S-I-B as in boy, B as in boy, ACH.com/careers. And now, back to the solution.
And we're back from our commercial break. Miguel, how about that commercial?
Ah. It was awesome.
Way to chip in there. Way to chime in there, Randy. Way to save Miguel on that one. That's awesome. You ever, Miguel, when's the last time you hosted an open house, Miguel?
That was last year.
Oh, last year. Okay. Yeah. How many of those leads are you still talking to?
Well, I sold one of them.
House or the buyer?
What was that?
You sold the house or the buyer that walked in the open house?
I sold one of the people that walked into the house. I sold that house, and another one, I sold their house, and I couldn't. No, I couldn't get him a decent house, but I got basically two deals out of the open house.
That's awesome. Yes, absolutely. Well done. One of the challenges that I have in an open house, Jeff, is if I'm there for 3 hours and let's say six groups come through, if I don't take notes, you learn this the hard way, right? After you have six groups that come through an open house and then you sit down, you're like, Lost. Okay, who was who? What was what? Uh-huh. I'm going to call this person and say, it was nice meeting you and your daughter. But then they're going to say, I wasn't there with the daughter. Like, who are you? Oh shit. I got you confused with somebody else.
Yeah. And how good is it when you start off the conversation with saying something wrong about someone, how much they just want to keep talking to you?
No, yeah. Not just how much do they want to keep talking to me, but now that I feel like I'm in a hole, do I really want to climb my way out of this hole, or do I just want to disregard that and move on to the next?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Like, in business, in sales, you've got to be able to manage a pipeline, and you have to take note documentation to do it. But it's not just lead follow-up that comes with documentation. I'm sorry. It's not just leads that we need better note-taking for. It's education.
Process.
It's yes. Education. It spans across so much of being an entrepreneur, being in business. You are running your own business, which means you got to be an expert at marketing. You got to be an expert at lead generation. You got to be an expert at the contract. You got to be an expert at negotiating. And it's hard to be an expert in all those things.
I just think that they feel, because you're an agent and they're an agent, that they do it just like you do it. That's why they're not. They don't pull out the device to record the note. I don't know that many people take notes on their phone like we do.
I used to be a yellow pad guy. Well, I was, when I got into sales, I had like a classroom sales environment that before they kicked you out into the call center to sit on the phone and cold call people to refinance their home loans in 2005. Did every recent college grad have that job, or was it just everybody that I knew? But anyway, you're sitting in a call center calling people like, hey, I got a unique loan program that the government just released. You want to refi? Along those lines. But they would give you, like, I got some of the best sales training ever in that job. And I had these yellow pads of paper that some of them were regular size and some of them were legal size. And I would be taking notes on like setting the perimeter and taking notes on whatever it was
setting
that they
the
were.
Perimeter?
Yeah, that's just one of the examples of where you set a perimeter so that the only way that lead can go is the direction that you want them to go. But anyway, if I want to find my notes on setting the perimeter, that legal pad gets full, right? And so then I put that legal pad in a drawer because it's got really good information in it. So I don't want to throw it away. Instead, I put it in a file drawer, and then I get a new legal
pad
out.
Great place for it.
And I get a new legal pad and I fill that one up with notes. And so now I have a file drawer in my shed at my house still, that's got about 10 full yellow pads of awesome sales notes.
Okay, why are we talking about this?
Because when I want to, when I think about, I need to go back into those notes in order to find.
You mean how you? So you took one. You started making cookies, except you only got to add an egg.
No, I want to find the information that I wrote down. So I open up the drawer and I look at those 10 different pads of 100 paper, 1,000 pages, and I'm like, am I going to really finger through all of these pieces of paper to find the note that I took that
day?
And you
try for a few minutes, and then you're like, forget it.
So now really the only value of taking that note, if I can't retrieve the note that I took very easily, meaning search for it, which you can do on a digital device, then the only value of taking that note is really to help it stick better in that exact moment. But what we have found is when you take it on a digital device and you can search your notes for things like open house ideas, or follow-up ideas.
Yeah.
And then all of the notes that you've taken over the last 4 years come out, you can actually find the information that you took notes on.
Yeah, no, I think back in my my folder of, because I used to record notes by person that I took them from, because we were trying to grow and we were trying to sell more houses. And we were part of a mastermind group that was the elites in the Valley at the time, which was the Joanne Calloways and the Kenny Klosses and the Brett Tanners.
Russell
and
Shaw.
Yeah. All the, right. Yeah. Yeah. So I would organize my notes by who someone spoke, because some of them I believed in, some of them I didn't, but that's just who we are as humans, right? Like sometimes, you know, they may think that I'm full of crap and they think that you're great. I don't know.
Vice versa.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But the reality is that, cause it's hard. I mean, the hardest part is, cause we're talking about writing something down when you don't know that you're gonna need it.
Yes. Like to talk about Randy.
Right.
He's a new agent in the business. Randy is on a mission to figure out how to sell his first house.
Right.
And so what we're talking about today, follow-up processes and documentation, he doesn't have any processes yet. He's trying to develop his, like, you got to figure out how to sell a house first and then sell another house and another house before it makes sense for you to start documenting your processes.
He doesn't have any bad habits.
Well, but this class of you taking notes, I didn't hear what you said, Miguel.
He doesn't have any bad habits.
He doesn't. And that's the best part about new agents. Yeah. No question.
Yes.
You're lucky in that regard.
Yes.
Randy. Mm-hmm. But this podcast today that he's listening to, or this public Zoom room that he's in, might not be as relevant to him today as it will be a year from now. The question is, will you be able to reference the notes that you took today a year from now?
Well, this one's mostly about the taking of notes. So hopefully he got it the next time when I meet with him for a second meeting, that he comes prepared to take notes.
Yeah.
But the best way is to do it right away. Start doing it right now.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. So now we're going to talk about the move from paper to digital.
Okay.
Okay. Because the hard part for you was that you were so excited that you were taking notes on your yellow pads that you couldn't get out of your own way. And that we talked about, I mean, we collectively made the move to digital, you know, because like I had, the problem is we had to break ourselves of paper note-taking.
Yeah.
Like to think that you had to.
That's hard.
That is hard.
Yeah.
Like I had to, because he had the L pad. I was a clipboard with a piece of paper guy.
Yeah. Oh, this is the progression of it.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that you? Yeah.
Yes.
So I was the clipboard. So, because the way that, because I'm going to pull it right into real estate right now.
Yep.
Okay. We're going to back it in. So Phil and I were, going to listing appointments together. We went on about 250 listing appointments together. And the reason I wanted to bring Phil in the first place was, one, I wanted to see what it was like in the real world, get out of his dad's company where he just talked about things that he didn't do, and then actually do the job of real estate so that he could learn that, you know, stuff he was saying was horseshit
And that you told me you wanted me to talk about internet marketing. You wanted to highlight me as the internet marketing guy. No?
Oh, well, you know, it's just like having kids. Like sometimes you tell them why you
Touché.
And sometimes it's just like you never lied to your kids about going to the dentist or anything.
Yeah,
right? Like
never.
You're like, okay, good. Yeah. Anyway, but what it was is that I was really slow at being able to, well, my penmanship sucks is what it is.
That's true.
And that when I was taking notes at the listing appointment, you know, it's hard to talk to somebody and to write it down and to move, like, because in listing appointments, the conversation.
Yeah, there's no taking notes when you're on a listing appointment.
No, but I was trying, like, because what it was is, In the idea of trying to get this much better, I thought, let me try and improve the sales process, okay? Because I was like, I, first of all, hated having nothing to say to the to my sellers after I left. Like this uncomfortable...
You would email them later and say, did I win?
Yeah. You would email, like, did you get the comps? Like there was like all these tactics that you tried to come up with for a reason to, contact the seller after you were there.
Sending them a gift. A thank you for letting me.
Yeah.
In
you just try. Yeah. You're like, you know, but like most agents, you say the best things that you can say during the listing appointment. So following up, it's not like
you already shot all your ammo.
Yeah, right. You have no bullets left. So I came up with the idea that, you know, because the industry had stagers, I thought I could, you know, offer that every time to the people, not the stagers you may traditionally think is which people add furniture. But there was a thing that most agents told me at the time that they thought that because basically I wanted the seller when they were sharing the knowledge with me and now the stager was coming out, there was no way for them to know. I always like, how dumb, how inefficient are realtors? How inefficient are realtors that they would send someone else out or the next person that called them in a team environment to not know what was said? Like, because the thing is, you know, when you hear a conversation, you like, we just had a call together, you sum it up, right? You're like three items. But the reality is the details matter a lot, especially when someone new from the company is going out after you've been there. Okay. To be able right. to
let me help you here. I was the stager at that time. You and I were the stagers. And so when we were at the listing appointments, we were taking notes of what we talked to them about because we needed to be able because we knew we couldn't remember it. And I would would write down on paper what we were talking about.
But the second
and then we were gonna send those notes to the client.
Yes.
And so after I left the meeting, I had this piece of paper and then I would go to the computer and I would type them up. And we were like, well, this is fucking dumb. Why don't we just take electronic notes? And so I had an iPad at the time. It was the first iPad. And we're like, luckily my thumbs reached across the iPad.
You were a mad typer though.
And so I would mad type. I would take notes on the iPad.
As we walked around the house, he'd be trying to take notes of, because what we do in the listing is we record all of the upgrades during the listing appointment because I don't want the seller to have to repeat it to my listings manager or anyone else. I only want them to have to tell me once. So we were trying to type it up.
Note taken on the iPad, write down all the things. And so then all I had to do afterwards was organize them, which cut amount made us more efficient before I emailed them to the seller on what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And then us going to the listing appointments together every single time became the most expensive meeting that our company had. And
right.
Really, well, if it's really just a note-taking, I mean, like you knew how to win without me being there.
Well, actually, the customer told us it was too confusing.
That was early.
Okay. Right.
That, I didn't talk. Like that was early in the, when we both would present, the customer's like, I didn't know which one I was supposed to listen to. And so then I stopped talking.
Yes. Well, yes.
And I was just strictly note-taking. Well, at that point, do I really need to be there to take notes?
Yes.
No, let's just record it and have somebody else transcribe the recording and send the notes off.
Yeah, I would say that because the best way to.
But that was the big shift from going from paper to digital was to be more efficient.
Well, it was to be more efficient, but it was also just in, I mean, to think of how valuable that has become in even negotiating our sellers.
Yeah, reminding them.
Because sellers don't take notes, because I make fun of sellers all the time, because the reason why they don't take notes, that's why I'm trying to think about why real estate agents take notes, but the seller doesn't take notes because it's their house.
Yeah, and they don't, what do they need to take a note on? This is my house. I know everything about it.
Yeah, and because they didn't know that I was going to present them new information about their house that they didn't know of, that they weren't going to remember.
Yeah.
Like what the value of their house is. Because they think it's worth a bigger number than I do. So how are we going to tell them during that appointment that make them think that it's worth more when it's really worth less, right? Like, you know.
Yeah.
So, but that only happened from the development of learning that I can't talk about negative stuff to sellers because then we lose.
Yes. What that did, I mean, the reason why we have documentation and follow-up process in the same session is because
it's all tied together.
It's all tied together. And your process, what we have been describing and telling our stories is how our processes have developed and then writing those down. So it became the process of now that listing appointment process is 35 steps, where initially maybe it was 10. But when you try something like texting the reviews to the client after the meeting and you win that business, we then add a little not under, let's go in between 7.1, text a link of our reviews to client afterwards. And that adds. And so as you do things organically that win, you document those down so that you remember to do them every time, because we kid ourselves thinking that this is a pretty simple business, right? Mm-hmm. There's 50,000 people that do this business in the Valley. It's not rocket science. And so, but even like the Checklist Manifesto book that I've talked about before on the podcast, the pilots that go through all of the training that are very smart, the amount of plane crashes that declined when they had the pre-flight checklist of just checking basic stuff saved lives.
I think this is a good way to wrap it up.
No, and in our business, having your process documented where you know when you're going to go on a listing appointment, these are the 35 things. This is your process of new seller lead to active. What does your process look like? Write it down, because otherwise you're kidding yourself to think that you can remember the best way every single time.
Our point is that not only should you take notes on conversations, but you should also document everything that you do so you can make that better. Because it's hard to know what, like, to me, it's the idea of.
Can you improve what you don't measure?
Peter Drucker said that you can only manage what you measure. So you can't manage, and because that, like a manager in baseball determines who's the best player to put out there. He manages that team because he says, well, that guy hits better, this guy fields better. So they move people in and out. You can't manage your own business in deciding what is the best thing to say to a seller when they ask this question, or what if I said it this way instead of this way? I don't think that people, I mean, I just don't think that they realize that you're, you know, as real estate agents, you're an entrepreneur. And that your goal is to perform better for that client. I think it's because the focus on the industry is how do we get more listings, not how, like, to me, I think the focus should be how do we sell houses for more money? But I don't hear that, you know.
Yeah.
So
I think having documented processes, if I'm going to combine the two topics of today, is how you get better faster, because you can then study that and you can adjust that, as opposed to just, I got it up here.
Well,
don't be the agent that remembers it all up here. You can't.
Well, the thing is if you are a great agent, you're going to need more people.
Oh, you're going
if you're going there. No, but truly great,
nice.
If you want to be the best, if you truly are the best,
you're going to need an assistant. You're going to need another assistant. You're going to need a few more assistants.
Right. How many agents do you know over 100 million that don't have, that are just one person?
None.
Even though they say it's just me and these seven assistants and these virtual assistants. And like,
if you start now of documenting your processes,
right,
then it's easier to hand it to somebody.
So if you begin with the end of mind and being like, well, I want to be that big, you realize that you're going to have to take more notes, because when you do, you're going to get better at your job and then you're going to need more help.
Yeah. Yeah, buddy. All right, Seebach.
You're Phil Sexton.
Another session. Another Jeff session Seebach. Down. Thank you.
Hopefully we help you. Actually, this is one that this is like
Elise Faye joined the call. I see Elise on our public Zoom room. Talk about somebody that has all of her processes documented.
Elise Faye.
Elise Faye, what's new? Should we share with her that
if you here I am.
Hey. Hey. How you doing, Ife? Yeah.
I'm good. Out on the pavement today.
Do you have all your processes written down, Ife?
Yes, most of them.
Atta girl. And how many do you have? Let's see. One assistant, two. How many assistants do you have?
One assistant.
Okay. How many of the processes did your assistant document versus you?
None.
Wow.
Atta girl.
All right. We're glad.
Before you guys called me out, I started to hear a few things on there that I've heard many times from you. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to just shut you guys down. I was just closing out when you hollered my name.
Uh-huh. We got you. You know, we're talking to you every time, Ife. Right. Every time.
I know.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Happy Thursday.
Thank you.